I think before I start speaking about Bibles, I better read from one. St. John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The lady told us, she said, the IRS took my testament. Can I get another one? Well, Bob Perkins was working out at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. The university allows us to come out there two mornings during the campus session. And they allow us to start before the students get there and stay till just after noon. During that period of time, we place about 8,000 Bibles with the students there every year. And it was the end of the second day. They were quite literally putting the unplaced scriptures back into the boxes and folding them up. And there was an older lady that came up there. She was wearing some kind of a food service uniform. And she gave that explanation. Am I too late to get a Bible? The IRS took my Bible. Well, you know, that kind of whets your interest a little bit. And as they were getting her a testament out of the book boxes there, they asked her about how the IRS come to take her Bible. She said, well, she had gotten one in the fifth grade when she got it, as she was instructed. On the little identification page, she had put her name and the date and the various things that school kids do. But she said after a few weeks of reading it at home, she realized that she wanted to give her life to the Lord, and she turned the back of the book to one of those blank pages back there, and she wrote down the date, she wrote down her name, and she wrote down her age. She said she was so proud of that, she took the book and she showed it to her mother. Her mother says, well, while you're at school, she said, I would like to read the book. And it wasn't too many weeks before mother put her name under her daughter's name. She wrote down the date that she accepted the Lord, and she wrote down her age. Turned out that one little red testament went through every member of that family, with each of them following that same procedure, the date, their name, and their age. She said when her older brother got old enough to try to get Social Security, he had been born at home, had no birth certificate, and said, lo and behold, the only thing the family could find to prove his age was a little well-worn New Testament that she had gotten in the fifth grade. Now, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know the difference between the Social Security and the IRS, you better watch out for the 15th of the month. You know, we've been around for 117 years. That might sound old to you, but I want you to understand that with the Word of God, we're absolutely as new and modern as tomorrow. Officially, we're organized in 200 countries of the world. We have scriptures printed in 100 different languages, but the more important than that is that there are areas that we distribute that we're not organized in. There are politically sensitive areas, and just recently we have been in communist China, and in communist China we do business different than we do any place else. They don't allow you to get out and place scriptures in the traffic lanes of the world. You have to keep your scripture distribution confined to a church or to a business that's owned by a Christian Chinese person. So for us, it's a whole new ballgame. I think that last year we gave out about 92 million scriptures in those 200 countries of the world. In addition to the other countries that I've mentioned to you that we're not organized in, that we do place scriptures in, we have a little booklet. It's a paraphrase of the book of John, and we give it to youth in church youth groups for free. and they get to take it into the school. They get to witness peer to peer with the kids in the school. And if you can believe it, we don't even get any flack from the groups that don't like Christian activities. I would say that the newest form of scripture distribution that we have is electronic. And if you'd like to get it on your cell phone, you can find it at apps.gideons.org/Bible. And you can get that in any country of the world in any of those 100 languages. And here in the U.S., you can get it in different versions, King James or Modern English or whatever you like. I'd like to tell you about a lady that lived over near Madura, India. She was a typical Indian woman. She was a Muslim. She was a Hindu, and she had a background of worshiping idols. She married when she was just a young lady. She promptly had two kids. She had a fine husband, but he unexpectedly died at a very early age. I can only imagine a mother with two children who has just lost her husband. But it was at this time that her family and her friends all gathered around her and explained to her simply that she was a cursed woman. You know, it was several years later that the oldest of these two boys died while bathing in a nearby river. Once again, feeling this feeling of being cursed, she began to question in her mind, with all of those gods that the Hindus have, is there really a God? She wandered about her home aimlessly and had about decided that life was simply not worth living. And laying there on a table was a testament that her son had gotten in school, and it kind of caught her eye. And for some reason, she picked it up, she began to read it, and in reading this little testament, she found consolation. And while some of the things in it reminded her of her sins, the majority of it reminded her of God's love for her as a person. It was after a period of reading this that through the motivation of the Holy Spirit that she gave her life to God. And she said immediately, all of that bitter and angerness in her was just gone, and she was a new person in Christ. She witnessed to her younger son, and now the two of them are involved in church. And you know, her comment today is, her extreme thankfulness to Jesus, with all glory going to God. I guess what's neat to me about this is it was a church just like this that gave the money. We simply bought and placed the scripture. The Holy Spirit did all of the work, and God alone gets all of the glory. Up in the area around Seattle, there was a woman by the name of Maria Graver. Maria, her husband, and their young daughter had gone out after Maria had gotten home from work on a weekend. And with the fun of being in a park and running and playing, Maria was the first to run out of gas. The father and the daughter were still going strong, but she found a picnic table down at the bottom of a little valley that she could sit down under a shade tree and watch them have fun. And she noticed there was a man walking down toward the picnic table, and he walked up to her and he offered her a testament, and he had these words to say: God loves you and that everything is going to be okay. That's all he said. Turns out that Bob Benoit was a local Gideon that had a little personal worker's testaments in his car, and as he was driving by this park, God spoke to him with that voice that makes no sound, that he needed to place testaments in that park. Turns out that it was shortly after Maria had received this testament that her cell phone went off and they announced to her that her son had just been shot. She gathered up her daughter and her husband and they raced to the emergency room. When they got there, that doctor told him, said, your son David has about a 25% chance of surviving the night. And it was during that long night that Maria remembered that little red testament that she had received, and to try to pass the time, she started reading it, and she hadn't read it but just a short time until she remembered Bob's words, God loves you, and that everything is going to be okay. Well, it turns out that David did make the night, and you know, it was proven as they got the police report that Bob had handed her the testament just about exactly the time that her son had been shot. It was with God's perfect timing and Bob's simple act of obedience that Maria and her family are active and in church today. I think that all of us here this morning don't have any desire to lift up the Gideons. That's not what we're here about. But we are here to remember the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'd like to tell you about a group of Gideons in Chile. Things are different in Chile, as you can imagine. They were in the hospital to place hospital testaments, and over there the hospitals do not have the individual rooms like they have here, but the patients are kept in wards. While the doctors were in there tending to the patients, the Gideons were back behind the glass doors waiting for them to finish their work to go in there. And when they all came out together, the Gideons went in there and started placing the testaments. Well, it turned out that one of the doctors apparently had not completely finished his work, and he came back in, and the Gideons apologized to him for being in there while he is trying to do his business. And he reached into that white coat of his and he pulled out one of their little hospital testaments. And he said, you know, my father had a stroke and he was in this hospital. And he said, I really thought that he was going to die. And he said, he started reading this little testament. And not only did he get completely restored, but he said, today he is a new man in Christ, and his health is fully restored. Then the doctor went on to testify to the patients in the ward about the goodness of the Word of God. I'd like to tell you that for a gift of $1.25, we can send a testament like this to any place in the world and put it in someone's hands. A lot of times people find that when they want to do something in a foreign country, they'd like to send a case of 100 New Testaments in there. I just want you to know, if God lays that on your heart, He will provide for it. There are countries that we go into where when we take a case of Bibles, they reach 100 waiting empty hands to people that are struggling to the point that they simply cannot afford to buy a copy of God's Word. And one of the countries that we go into, this little testament represents for a man a week's work. And so we reach boys and girls in these type of countries. You have an insert in your bulletin this morning that tells a little bit about our work. If you're one of these 21st century people, you can just turn that thing over and with your smartphone, use that red eye device on that QR code on the back, and it's a done deal. Or if you're like the rest of us and less technical than that, you have to mark your envelope, and we will receive your offering that way. More important than all of this about the money is that we're a spiritual ministry and we desire and need your prayers. If you have any interest in the organization, I'll be here after the service and would be happy to answer any questions that you might have. I would thank Pastor Bias for sharing his pulpit time this morning with us. And I would just say that know that we are distributing scriptures as an extended arm of your church around the world, and equally important, right here in Texarkana, Texas. Thank you.